home church, I looked it up. I told Brother Bill, I said, I want to see the records. He said, see the secretary, she'll show them to you. I said, I know I got saved. There's no doubt about that if I'd never seen a record. But I know I was saved, but I just want to find out what day and all it was on. And now I know and have known for 30-something years. I'll be 40 years old in the Lord this year. Praise God. Well, I am. Say, what's the day, the 18th? I'm 40 years old today. Today's my birthday. How about that? April the 19th, 1969. I received Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah. I'll receive gifts after church this morning. Praise the Lord. That's the day we ought to be giving gifts on, not you. I mean, you know, I'm glad I was born one time physically. I had to do that in order to get born again. But nonetheless, yeah, well, hallelujah. How about that? I believe I'll get a piece of peppermint candy out of the jug back there, Brother Charlie, and celebrate after church this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 9, turn your Bibles there. If you know where Chronicles, Kings, and all those boys are, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, go two books past the end of them, Ezra, then Nehemiah. 500 and I'll tell you what page if you got a Schofield Bible, 550. Page 550 if you got a Schofield Bible. Oh, Oliver Green, buddy, that's all he used. Now, you got to remember, like with most any study Bible, the notes in there are his ideas, and I'm subject to disagree with a few of them. But the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is the inspired Word of God. Amen. King James, I'm talking about. You got anything else? You don't have a Bible. So if you don't have a real King James Bible, go buy it. At least I got one that's got one. Get you a King James Bible. Praise God. People say, well, I don't understand. Hey, that's the most easiest understood one of all of them. And then if you get saved, you can understand it. A lost man will never understand the word. I don't care how you write it. See, they've tried to put it in their language so they can better understand. They won't understand until they get saved. Then they can understand, and then they'll want the real thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the real thing. I do. Well, anyway, Nehemiah chapter number 9. I want to begin reading verse number 7. The Bible said, I'm going to back up. Let me see. Yeah, well, I'll just go ahead and start 7. He said, thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showedest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, so much for the good day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for watching over us. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless your word today. Use it, Lord, that it may point some soul to Jesus today. I pray, God, that you'd use it to help us as Christians that have been floundering and faltering in our walk, God, that we'd be drawn to thee. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use it today just simply to honor and glorify your precious name. And God, we'll be careful to praise you for what you do. For we pray and ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to bring you a message on this thought this morning, Abraham's experience. Abraham's experience. And oh, Abraham really had one. If you go back and study all about Abraham and what God's done, bless your heart. But we found God said one thing about Abraham that I hope that it would be said about all of us in this building this morning. Notice he said in verse number 8, and foundest his heart faithful before thee. Now I want to ask you this morning, do you and I have a faithful heart? I'm talking about sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that God sent His best when He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins that we might be saved? He didn't send His second best. He could have sent anybody, but it wouldn't have been good enough. God sent His best, and the reason He sent His best is because He had us in His heart, not just on His mind, but in His heart. And so now that Abraham's been called of God and given a great command to do what God had called him to do. And by the way, it wasn't an easy command for all that he did. We find that God called on him to do something that we would not want to have to do in our life, and offering our son on an altar and have that knife almost ready to go down, and God just stay his hand and say, no, no. But I'm just saying, he's faithful. And God found something in old Abraham that he desires, I believe, to find in all of us this morning. And that is a faithful heart. See, it's one thing to serve God out of head knowledge, and that's one of the downsides, if we're not careful, to gaining more knowledge about God and knowing His Word and getting insight on the Word. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves operating merely from the intellect and from the flesh, and not doing it from the heart that God wants from us so very desperately bad. God said, I found something in old Abraham I lacked. It wasn't a pocketbook that was endless as far as giving and giving and giving. It wasn't his looks. Listen, God can use people of all shapes and sizes. He can use people whether they're rich or poor. He can use preachers from every walk of life. All you got to do, number one, is get saved and know you know the Lord is your Savior. Amen. And then from that, you began to serve God with a whole heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it starts with the heart, and our life ought to end with the heart. I mean, listen, it's with the heart that we believed. It ought to be with the heart that we serve. And it ought to be with the heart that we die. Now, we find that God says some good things about the heart. And He says some things that we need to be made aware of. Let me give you what Matthew said, for example, in Matthew chapter 12, this thing about the heart. We find He says in a couple of verses here in Matthew chapter 12 and 34 and 35, He said, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then He says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. I'm saying God says He wants us to bring forth good things. And if our heart is where it ought to be with God, we'll want to do nothing but bring forth good things. And so we find that Abram, I believe, was just that kind of guy that would want to bring forth good things to God. Let me read you some verses out of the Psalms that I thought was very good. Psalm 119, turn your Bibles over there if you would. I want to read you about five or six verses out of this book that talks about the heart. Now in Psalm 119 and verse number 2, the Bible said, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. He said in verse number 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking thereto according to thy word. Now we find here, well, in verse 10, these verses always go together. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then he says in verse 34 of the same chapter, give me understanding
and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. He said in verse number 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. And then verse number 69, he said, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And then the last one we'll read is verse number 145. He said, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Hey, don't you think the psalmist is trying to show us that when we jump into this business about serving God, we ought to do it wholeheartedly? I believe the reason that a lot of people fall out by the wayside, Brother Carl, and fizzle out after a year or two is because they're not in it wholeheartedly. It's amazing to me how we can go out and play ball and boy, we'll do it wholeheartedly. It's amazing how we can go hunting and we'll do it wholeheartedly. It's amazing we can go to our job on Monday and boy, we'll do it wholeheartedly. But when it comes to serving God, reading our Bible and praying, we just give God the second or two that's left over. We don't do it wholeheartedly that God wants us to do or as he wants us to do. And I believe that's the reason a lot of Christians just fizzle out. Because they've not put the heart into it. Some Christians have the idea, well, I'll go if it's convenient, I'll go if it's not. Boy, if you'd put your whole heart into it, you'd want to go. You'd want to be there every time the doors are open. I'm telling you, I like to go, not just because I'm the preacher, but I just enjoy seeing the blessings of God. Man, you come to the house of God and you hear a good message. Some of us talking about Brother Jack Shook preaching last week, going over there last Tuesday, hearing him preach on Judas Iscariot. What a blessing that was. I enjoyed it. And I'm saying, listen, if you put your heart in it, you know what my dad used to say, still does say all the time? Simple statement. He said, people do what they want to do. I guarantee you. Well, I don't have time to go to church, preacher, blah, blah, blah. But if they wanted to, they could. But they seem like, it's amazing, they got time to do everything else. It's amazing how people make time for what they want to do. Well, the psalmist said, I've kept your statutes, I've listened to you, I've prayed, I've done it all from my heart. Wholeheartedly. And that's what God found in old Abraham. He said in verse number 8, and found as his heart faithful before thee. I'm talking about it was a heart faithfulness. But I believe also it was a heaven faithfulness. Son, I mean, here old Abraham, he realized that, I mean, God said, hey, I give you all this land. Say, we got a better place coming one day. Amen. And Abraham did all that he did because he knew this wasn't the last day. Abraham knew this wasn't his only dwelling place. He knew there was a better day of coming. And so he constantly did what he did, and the Bible said, before God. Do you know that God watches and God sees everything we do? Now that ought not surprise us, but many of us live as if he doesn't hear us or doesn't see what we do. Man, when I was driving back home Saturday morning, about 3:30 in the morning, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. That's a good time to be in Atlanta. Very little traffic. I didn't see a policeman nowhere. They was all off at the donut shop eating donuts, drinking coffee, I guess. And son, I zipped through Atlanta, Georgia, 80 mile an hour. I didn't slow down one little bit. I mean, I zipped right on through. I mean, the car, too, that was there in front of me, they was going that fast, I figured I could, too. And so I just stayed up with them. And right on through Atlanta, Georgia, we went. But I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm saying. I done got off on that speeding business and forgot what I was saying. But anyway, I was coming home. I'd been down to see Daddy. I'll try to get back on my phone. But going there and coming, hey, that's not my only place to live. I got another place. And it's a better place. It's a greater place. It's a grander place.
And oh, Abraham did what, here's what I say, and Abraham did everything he did because God saw it. See, God saw me going through Atlanta, Georgia, 8 miles an hour. Now, I might not have got stopped by a policeman, but I know what God says. He says the law, it's set that we're supposed to obey the law that's set over us. Guilty. Guilty. Sign said 55, I believe, something like that, down through downtown Atlanta. Now, if you drive 55 through Atlanta, you're in trouble during the daytime. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm just saying we're so guilty of breaking God's laws. I heard a preacher the other day talking about overeating. And I said, that's right. Anybody eat 12 dozen biscuits for breakfast and 6 dozen eggs, they ought to be guilty. But he didn't mention all of that. All he just said, if you eat, and he said, this is the very example he used. I was flipping through the stations. You know, I wish I hadn't found him. He said, if you got sugar problems, and he said, I do on the radio. I heard him. I said, all right, we got something in common. He said, but yet you still eat donuts, honey buns, and things like that. He said, you breaking God's law against your body. I cut him off. I believe that's the way a lot of Christians do. Boy, the preacher get to preaching and we get to plowing close to your corn row, and boy, you just cut us off and I won't listen to him. I'll find me another. Hey, sometimes I have to say oh me instead of amen. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the weightier things, I'm talking about living right, doing right, knowing that everything we say, everywhere we go, God's got his eye on us and he's got his ear cupped to his hand. He hears what we say. The Bible says that one day you and I are going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. Can you imagine? I can get off the phone with Claire, maybe get off the phone with somebody and at least won't know what they said. I can't even remember what they said just that quick. But God, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised we get to heaven and God starts bringing, and we'll say, boy, did I say that? Did I say that? Did I do that? Guilty. But the Bible says, oh, Abram, son, his heart was right before God. He determined in his heart he's going to live. And Christians, we can live right if we want to. Amen. We can. And oh, Abraham lived right before God. But not only did he live right before God and found his heart faithful before God, but we find that old Abraham had found favor with God. The Bible says in that verse that he had made us a covenant with him to give the land of all these people there. God made a covenant with old Abraham. And he said, Abraham, all these lands I'm going to give you. Can you imagine? I went down, one of the reasons I went down to Dad's, I thought I was going to get his house. But I found out I'm not going to be able to get it. That's awful. I'm just going to have to live with Brother Harold when I get old. So clean out that basement, that beauty shop of yours, Sister Libby. Put a day bed in there and a bathroom and I'll be happy. But I'll tell you something. Hey, if you accumulate every inch of planet Earth, you don't have anything compared to what you're going to get. The Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm not interested in getting the world. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, why didn't he get that? I shouldn't have just left it hanging. Nothing bad on anybody's part, nothing bad. But we just decided that wasn't the route to go. And so I'm not going that route. But anyway, one of these days, I got a home that's been prepared for me and you, and we've not even laid eyes on it yet. Now, not too many people down here are going to go spend $100,000, $200,000 for a home and not see it before they buy it. Not many people are going to spend that kind of money and just say to the builder, go build me a house without first they go over the plans and make sure everything's all right before they spend that big pile of money. Sister Elise told me yesterday that Sister Joyce Clark saw she just got nosy and went up there and went through that big mansion up there on Mulberry. Now, you kin to Sister Joy, excuse me for calling her nosy, but that's the only reason she had to go, because she didn't own it. It's not her. She's not kin to anybody that owns it. So she just got nosy and went up there and went through it. She said, it was beautiful. I'd like to go through it. I'm as nosy as she is. I'd love to go up there and go through it. I might go up there tonight and just raise a window and go through it with my flashlight. But, listen, we got home. I've never seen my mansion, Brother Carl. But, oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, let me throw this in about that house up there. The door alone that goes into that house, $3,000. $3,000 for a door. Huh? $30,000. Lousy. Man. My daddy didn't pay but $11,000 for his house when he bought it. Isn't that something? And a door cost $30,000. Well, my door in heaven. Diamond doorknob. Priceless. The street that runs by my mansion, not asphalt. It's not ground up rock. It's not even old red Georgia dirt, Brother Charles. It's gold. Amen. Gold street in front of my house. Gates around my mansion, pearl. Walls of jasper. Woo! I can't wait to get to my mansion in heaven. I've never seen it. I've not ever looked at it, but I've seen it described in the book of Revelation. And I'm saying to God this morning that I'm not disappointed. I'm looking forward to getting my mansion one day. Amen. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land, the covenant he made with him. Well, listen, he's made it with me and you. If we get saved by the grace of God, we're going to inherit all of heaven. I mean all of heaven. What a blessing that's going to be. Heaven is our home. Oh, Abraham said, look, boys, look at all this land I got. Look at everything that's involved. But not only was geography involved in the favor, but he promised to give him all of this. I believe there was the grace of God involved in what Abraham was doing. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And because we've been saved by grace, we live by faith. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We ate dinner or supper last night or Friday night at the Cracker Barrel and invited my sister-in-law to come over. And I called her on the cell phone. She said, well, I see y'all right now. I'm going up the road. I said, well, just follow us to the Cracker Barrel. And she followed us over there. We was planning on going to her house last Friday night and talk to her, but she just followed us over. And she said, boy, I got a blessing to share with y'all. I said, all right, put it on us. She said, I filled out my taxes and I had to pay $500. I said, well, that's not a blessing. Well, comparatively speaking, I spent almost three times that much to the government. I talked to a lady at the bank. She had to write a check for $8,500. I want to know what her husband does for a living. But anyway, here was the blessing. Audrey said, guess what? She said, I put that in the mail. I went to the post office mail, got back home and opened the mailbox and pulled out a letter. And inside that letter was a check for $500. Isn't it amazing how God knows how to take care of his own? Isn't it a blessing how God says, hey, if you'll live by faith, I'll give you all these things. Amen. And old Abraham just lived by faith. Trusted God for everything, and God said, I just believe I'll give you all. But see, God not only gives us the material. Now, listen, I don't believe in these health and wealth preachers on TV claiming, what's that saying, claim it and, huh? Name it, yeah, name it and claim it. That's a bunch of garbage. All they're interested in is your money. We're making them rich if you send them money. A lot of them live in two or three mansions all over the world, got jet planes fly everywhere they want to. I've said it before, but I'll just go ahead and say it again. You get sick and you don't want me praying for you, you just call one of them dudes up there, see if they're getting their jet fly down and pray for you. They don't even know who you are. All they're interested in is in your money. But if we'll put God first, God, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, and shelter, be added unto you. And I've said it a dozen times, and I'll say it again. I've always had a place to sleep. I've always had clothes to wear. I've always had an automobile to drive. I've always had everything that I need to get from day one to day two. And then when I go to bed tonight, if God lets me wake up in the morning, I promise you, unless a tornado or something hits, I'll have something to eat in the morning. Yeah, that's just God meeting your every need. And oh, Abraham, son, listen, God said if you'll put him first, he'll add all these things unto you. And if we'll put God first, you know what we'll do? You know what God will do? He'll put us in favor with him. That doesn't mean God loves me more than he loves anybody else. I said that last week, God loves the old sinner. I mean, in fact, God loved all sinners. That's why he went to the cross. But I'm saying that Christian that's saved and born again and on the way to heaven, but they're not serving God like they should, God still loves them as much as he does you and me. Amen. But those of us that are trying to serve God and do his will for our lives, you will find favor with God. Sure you will. God can't use a Christian that's out of fellowship with him. God may call, but if he refuses to call, God can't use him. God won't bless him. Look at all the blessings Christians miss by staying out of the will of God. Think about what God wants to do and will do for us if we'll just get in his will and do it day by day. Abraham did that, and God blessed him in such a great way. Well, then lastly, we see the fulfillment that God said about old Abraham. He said in verse number 8, the latter part of that verse, well, he said, I say to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. You know what God was saying to old Abraham? He says, you've done everything I've asked you to do, and you've done everything you said you'd do. Now, say it's easier for God to do his part, but how about us doing everything we tell God we're going to do? I've learned over the years, you better watch out for these Christians that come in like a ball of fire. I mean, boy, they're hitting the rug at 90 at nothing. Boy, they're wanting to get involved in everything. They want to jump in the choir and they want to play this. They want to play that. They want to teach this. They want to teach that. And if they don't get their way, a lot of times they go out quicker than they come in. Better watch that crowd. But I'm talking about that Christian that got saved by the grace of God and just determined in his or her heart that they were going to do everything that they told God that they would do. Solomon said, if you are going to do anything for God, you better be careful what you say before you make that vow. He said, for if you make a vow and you decide not to pay that vow, you're in worse shape than you was in the beginning. What have you promised God today? What have we promised God since we've been saved? What have we told him we was going to do? I expect many of us in this building this morning, after we got saved by the grace of God, we said, God, we're going to witness every day. We're going to read our Bible every day. We're going to pray every day. We're going to be a good husband and a good wife and good children every day. We're going to be good children to our parents. We're going to be good to God. We're going to be faithful. And boy, it wasn't 6 months down the road, 99% of us in here already messed up what we promised God. We didn't intentionally, hopefully. But even with our best intentions, we still mess up from time to time. But notice what old God said about Abraham. He said, thou hast performed thy words, and thou art righteous. Boy, what a blessing. I mean, God confirm some things to him. Let me read you these verses out of Romans chapter 4. I read these, and boy, I thought they were just very appropriate. They are written about old Abraham, but I think they're pretty good verses. Romans chapter 4. I hope that's where I want to go. In verse number 22 through 25. The Bible said, "And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." I'm saying, listen, it wasn't written just for Abraham alone. It's written for all of us. And if you'll go back up, you'll find out what he was talking about in part of that. Oh, Abraham, God said to him and Sarah, "You're going to have a child in your old age." And Abraham said, "My seed's dead. My wife's old. How can we have a child?" But he staggered not at the promise of God. And God gave them a child. I'm saying to you this morning, what seems impossible with man is possible with God. And if you and I just learn to fulfill every word that we told God we'd do, I promise you, you can bank on it, God will do everything he said he'd do. He's that kind of God. He fulfilled all the promises that he said he would fulfill. Listen to what the Bible says about God and his promises. And I'm going to give you this, and I promise you this is the last verse we're going to use this morning. I didn't say I was through. I just said this is the last verse. Psalm 145, if I can find it. I know it's in my Bible. Psalm 145. And listen to what the Bible says in verse number 17. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Now listen to verse number 19. "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, and he also will hear their cry and will save them." That's a pretty good promise from God, isn't it? God said, "If you do what you say you'll do, old boy, I'll do exactly what I said I'd do." Now, it's up to you and me. If we do what we said we was going to do, God says, "Don't worry, I'm faithful, I'm righteous. I hadn't changed. I'll do everything I said I'd do." I want to ask you and me this morning, do we have a heart like Abraham? If we don't, we need to pray, "God, give us one. Help me to be faithful." Listen, you don't have to lay out of church and fall out into sin and drink and do drugs and all that to be out of fellowship with God. All you and I have to do is just have a cold heart. I mean, just, well, we come to church, we sing the songs, we sit in the class, we hear the preacher, but we're here in body, but that's all. But oh, Abraham, he had a heart for God. Do we have a heart for God? If we don't, I invite you to come this morning and ask God to help you have one for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, so much for the good day. Thank you for blessing. Lord, I pray that you would just honor your word. I pray, God, if there's one lost here this morning, God, that you'd save them. I pray, Father, this morning that you would help us as Christians to, Lord God, to learn to yield our lives afresh and anew unto thee. And God, I pray that you'd help us to determine in our heart what the will of God is. And then, God, that we'd just simply set out to do the will of God. Father, have your way in this invitation, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, Brother Shane, you come. Our musicians have come. We're going to have a stanza of an invitation. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, just come to God. Hey, you don't have to tell me a thing. Tell it to God. He'll help you like no other can. What number, brother?
141.
141. Let's stand and sing, and you let the Lord have his way in your heart this morning. Hallelujah.